Spectrum Iran. First and foremost, please allow us to take this opportunity to express our heartfelt sympathies on the martyrdom anniversary of the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad ibn Ali Baqir al-Ulum, peace be upon him. Tonight's show is about the recent ban imposed on several Iranian TV and radio channels aired on Eutelsat. Stay with us. Welcome back. Several Iranian media channels were switched off by a major European satellite provider a few days ago. European Commission's decision to ban 19 Iranian TV and radio channels from broadcasting in Europe last week raises serious questions about the claims of upholding rights of freedom of speech and expression. EU Commission ordered satellite provider Eutelsat SA to stop broadcasting 19 Iranian TV and radio channels in Europe, including Sahar and Press TV. According to Iranian officials, EU's actions violate international laws and agreements and will only foster distrust, that of course at the expense of future talks between Iran and the West. Well, to look into this issue and talk about the reasons why and its ramification, we have asked two experts to help us on this program. In the studio, we have the pleasure of being joined by political analyst Dr. Fuad Izadi, who is a professor of political communications at University of Tehran. Professor Izadi, thank you for joining us on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And in London, we have Mr. Masoud Shajara, head of Islamic Human Rights Commission based in UK. Masoud Shajara, thank you for your participation, sir.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
Okay. Before we get into our discussion proper, let's take a listen to our narration. Stay with us. Following an order by the European Commission on Monday, October the 15th, European satellite provider Eutelsat SA ordered media services company Arqiva to take several Iranian satellite channels, including Sahar and Press TV, off one of its hotbird frequencies. The decision came after months of jamming of Iranian channels by European satellite companies. Satellite signals of 19 Iranian channels remain blocked in the European continent, and the European Commission insists the embargo on Iran concerns only oil and natural gas and not media. Meanwhile, Eutelsat says pressure was exercised by both French broadcasting authorities and from circles within the European Commission. Experts believe Iranian channels, particularly Press TV and Sahar, were targeted for angering certain European countries by covering thorny issues, including anti-austerity protests. Welcome back. Dr. Izadi, as a political communications expert, did this ban, censorship, whatever you call it, come as a surprise in view of the fact that they were the Iranian channels, some of them were being jammed prior to this October 15th action?
No, I don't think we had a surprise here. even before this latest round of banning in UK, for example, we had Press TV banned from the local cable channels. In Germany, we had a similar situation. Also, in the WikiLeaks documents, we saw that the both Americans and some European countries were quite upset with these channels. And as you know, the Iranian channels do have an audience, but they are competing in a market where the competition is tough. And certainly they were not number one channels in their field. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the European countries have decided to ban these channels shows
why.
That they are quite worried that even if a relatively a small number of audiences hear the message of these channels, then that is even not acceptable for them. So they want a total ban, they want a total silence, they want to frame issues that relate to Iran or issues that relate to the matters in politics, culture, economy, social issues that Iranian channels talk about. They don't want that voice to be heard, they want to have a monopoly mm-hmm. on the stories that they tell, basically.
Is the message carried, conveyed by the Iranian channels? Is the content of the message varied to that of the ones carried by the Western media, that it's making them worried?
Well, the Iranian channels generally acted as an alternative voice, as a voice of dissent, for the most part. They try to be the voice of the people who normally don't have a voice in the mainstream media mm-hmm. in the Western world. They also banned some channels that Iran had for Iranian expatriates, which is interesting. One would understand why they would ban an English language channel,
exactly.
because they don't want the people who speak English to hear the voice from Iran.
Or even Quran channel was banned.
Right, which was in Farsi, or Jam Jam, which was in Farsi. And this shows that they're also worried about the second generation of Iranians who live in Western countries. They are worried about Iranians who like the country, and then they see their country is portrayed quite negatively in the Western media. They don't want them to get an alternative information from their homeland. They're probably worried that these Iranians may influence their neighbors, their co-workers. So the idea that we have freedom of speech is for the most part violated by this incident.
Thank you. We'll get back to this particular issue later, Fouad Izadi. Masoud Shajare, some experts are of the view that human rights violations being committed for speaking the truth, sir. How far do you share this particular view?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the reality is that there is a need for alternative news and alternative view. And the more demonization process against Iran and Iranian community, and indeed the Muslim perspective is done, that actually more people are going to turn to these channels to hear the alternative. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we are seeing demonization, what I would say, Iranophobia is at play, and it's really increasing day by day and month by month. And ordinary people are turning and saying, look, wait a minute. I mean, no one could be that bad. I mean, the level of demonization is so ridiculous that people are turning to Press TV, turning to these other channels to see what's going on. And they don't want that to happen on one side. And on the other side, really, I think where Press TV and Iranian channels have been extremely successful has been in the area of exposing atrocities committed in Afghanistan, atrocities committed in the occupied Palestine. You know, at the time of the Gaza operation, people were watching Press TV day in, day out. It became the most popular channel in Europe and Western world. and they don't want that voice and to be heard. And I think really this got more to do with the Zionist lobby and the sort of sensitivity of hiding the atrocities committed by the Zionist state than anything else. And the reality is that what West wants to do, wants to support these atrocities, these war crimes being committed both in Afghanistan and in occupied Palestine, and so therefore they could continue their support for these atrocities on one side, and on the other side actually get Nobel Peace Prize. This will not happen if channels like Press TV and other channels, especially in English, are broadcasting and right across the Western world.
Thank you, Masoud Shajara. Farizadi, you did mention this claim, the so-called claim of freedom of expression, freedom of speech. What happens to these claims now? Have they not been proven to be hollow claims, that they were so dearly cherished and valued? And we see cases where the Holy Prophet of Islam is being insulted by caricatures, by whatever means. They say this is freedom of expression, but yet you have Iranian channels being taken off the 19 of them, which is unprecedented in itself. And what happens to freedom of expression? Is it not being sacrificed here?
Well, you know, for many years now, Western governments have had a number of claims about Nobel issues. For example, they have been talking about human rights, number one. And you saw what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. You saw what happened in Guantanamo and
Bagram
and
Abu Ghraib,
other prisons that they have. The claim that they had on the issue of human rights is out the window. It's nobody really believes them anymore when they talk about human rights issues, because they have killed a million people in the last 10 years or so in the Middle East and elsewhere. The second claim that these Western governments had was with regard to the way they run their economies, about capitalism, about free market. And you saw what happened in Europe with regard to the collapse of that economic system.
That's
the
right.
Troubles that they have with that particular economic system.
Austerity measures, the protest against these austerity measures.
Things that you see in the news. So the second claim is also out. The third claim they had was with regard to freedom of speech. So when the movie against the Prophet, peace be upon him, came out, the President of the United States tried to justify that by saying they're exercising their freedom of speech. He spoke about 20 minutes at the UN in this last General Assembly talking about freedom of speech. I think with the closing of Iranian channels, you can be assured that the third claim is also out. And I think closing of Iranian channels did to the issue of freedom of speech, similar to what Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo did to the issue of human rights. I think the damage that the Western governments are suffering from this action is going to be quite extensive for many years to come, because from now on, when they talk about freedom of speech, everybody will remember what they did to Iranian channels. They tried to close that. And it's not really just the Iranian channels. You see how they deal with local dissent. You see how the United States dealt with the Occupy movement, how the British government dealt with the Occupy movement. So they basically are saying that we don't like dissent, whether it's internal or external. We're going to, if we can get hold of them, we are going to hit them with buttons, with sticks, and we're going to
pepper spray them.
And if we cannot get hold of them, we're going to call them terrorists, and we're going to ban their voice from our airways.
So basically everyone has to toe the line.
You either are with us or against us. So that line that George W. Bush expressed was actually an honest line. Other Western leaders did not say it so explicitly, but they really believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Master Shajar, you talked of the fact that Iranian channels were instrumental in exposing atrocities in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, elsewhere. Observers say this move of banning the Iranian channels is all about the media monopoly, the act of war against alternative voices, alternative media, because they don't want to see their monopoly challenged and these exposures being made, such as the ones by Iranian channels, sir. Your views on that?
Yeah, it's absolutely the case. I mean, we saw, as I said, at the time of the Gaza operation, there was a huge shift towards press TV. And, you know, I think if you're going to analyze this appropriately, we need to sort of recognize that there is really, in reality, freedom of speech is really non-existent when it comes to the powers, be it European powers or the United States. You know, at the same time that we had these films shown in United States, and we were told that we need to put up with it because it's the freedom of speech, and we were insulted, you know, quarter of world population, we had a case of a young man, a 19-year-old Muslim, which was taken to court because in his Facebook, he said that those soldiers who go to Afghanistan, he wants them to die and go to hell. He was taken to court and prosecuted for gross insult and found guilty. Now, if you put something on a Facebook and insult soldiers in Afghanistan and you get prosecuted, what about the insult to the quarter of world population? These are very clear realities that the freedom of speech in reality doesn't exist, and is a double standard that Dr. Izzati was saying, is the same double standard that exists within the concept of human right. West doesn't want atrocities committed by either themselves in Afghanistan or, you know, what is happening in Syria, or indeed what has been happening for over 60 years in occupied Palestine, to be known to international community. They only want their story to be told. I'll give you an example. We had this case of Taliban totally unjustly and barbarically shot a young girl. And the whole world has rallied. She's been brought to Britain for the treatment. Everybody is talking about it. But the reality is that every day, every hour, we're getting many Afghani children are being killed with drones, and their family devastated, the neighbors killed, you know, and this is happening day in, day out. And there are thousands of children being killed by these drones, by United States. Not a single one of them have been identified who they are, or indeed taken anywhere for getting any sort of treatment. This shows the hypocrisy of how it's the policy is being implemented, and it's not possible without monopoly of the media. And this is why we are seeing these channels are being taken out, and the reason, you know, and they're trying to get the have an excuse that they're doing it because of sanctions. The sanctions were supposed to be targeted not towards media but towards a specific issues to do with the nuclear technology. But, you know, we are seeing the hypocrisy of it, and the hypocrisy of it is based on this monopoly. They just cannot allow any other alternative voice to expose atrocities being committed by them.
Thank you, Masoud Shajar. Dr. Izzati, why have the Western media to a large extent become partisan, in a sense biased towards the government's expansionist policies? Why aren't these atrocities, the ones that you talked of, Masoud Shajar just referred to, being exposed by the Western media? Why have they become so partisan? Because a couple of four decades ago, we did see them taking a much more vocal stance regarding the Vietnam War, for instance. But why is it that they have become so placid, so indifferent, as it were, regarding these atrocities being committed in Afghanistan, like the deadly drone attacks?
Well, there are several reasons behind that. I think to understand the Western media, you have to look at the structure of how these media outlets are run. You have to look at the political economy of the media, the mainstream media in the Western world. And if you do that, you realize that in the last two, 3 decades, a lot of more independent media outlets have either been pushed out of competition or have been bought by bigger media companies. Mm-hmm. So nowadays you have about four or five giant corporations that own the media in the United States and Europe.
That's true.
What has happened is that during the Reagan years, during the Margaret Thatcher years in UK, a lot of deregulation was implemented, and the result of those deregulations was the fact that we see a lot of these companies were bought by bigger companies. What is happening now is that you have five or six companies who basically dictate what will be seen by Europeans and Americans and what will not be seen. And since for many years now they have a quite close relationship with their governments, they basically follow the line that these governments want to be followed. And sometimes, even given the fact that they are owned by big corporations, sometimes they act as bricks in the way of a politician who may want to express a different or critical point of view. I would like you to pay attention to what happened in the United States about 10 days ago, the debate that happened between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, the vice presidential debates. If you watch that debate, they talked about Iran for about 10 minutes.
Right.
And in that debate, Joe Biden basically criticized Paul Ryan for hyping up the issue of Iran's nuclear weapon. Obviously, they normally don't do this in the Democratic Party, but since this was a debate and there was a lot of pressure, a lot of people were watching, Biden said a few things that normally he or others in the U.S. government wouldn't say. So when Paul Ryan talked about the idea of Iran going to have a nuclear weapon soon, Joe Biden said that is not true. Joe Biden said that even if they enrich uranium to a high degree, they don't have a weapon to put this uranium in. So the idea
projectile.
Of having so the idea of having a weapon, a bomb, is not going to be near. And he said that if they go that route, we are going to know it. And he said that even Israelis agree with us in this regard in private. So this is quite important, because for the last many years, you have been hearing about Iran having a bomb, having a bomb, having a bomb, and then the United States Vice President used the words like loose talk, talking about, referring to Ryan's narration of Iran's nuclear program. There is the Irish word maraldkí, which means loose talk. He used that word. Biden used that word. And you would expect the Western media outlets would pay attention to this, but they did not, because what Biden said that night really did not follow the line that they had with regard to Iran.
The bigger picture of Iranophobia.
Exactly. So imagine if they can censor their own vice president, what they will do to Iranian channels. So that's why we said that we are not surprised. We are, I guess, surprised to hear the claims of freedom of speech at the same time they're doing this. So that requires a lot of nerve, and I think the Western leaders have shown that they can talk about human rights and kill tens of people every day. They can talk about good governance and ruin their own economies. And this is another example of hypocrizy, I think.
Thank you, Dr. Izzadi. Well, before I go back to London to put the next question to Masoud Shajarli, we're going to take a break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. Tonight we're talking about the recent EU ban on 19 Iranian TV and radio channels. Masoud Shajarli, one interesting or sad point is that following the ban, no one is really taking responsibility. The EU Commission says it didn't order the ban and it has nothing to do with it. So it passes the buck to the European satellite provider, Eutelsat. But Eutelsat says it enforced the ban following orders from the European Commission. Why not be brave enough to stand and say, I did it, take responsibility? Why pass the buck?
Unfortunately, this is really becoming more or less the norm. And the reality is that this action is so ridiculous, and it sort of so much goes against what the West and Europeans and the United States claim, on the issue of human rights and on the issue of freedom of speech, on the issue of the right to broadcast, and the issue of right of sort of having difference of opinion. I mean, this is hardcore of the belief in the West, and here sort of institutions of the West, including the European Commission, actively involved in going against that core belief, and you know, to some extent I think we saw it coming. I mean, when press was taken off the sky, we actually could predict that this is not just the end, that's just the beginning. And indeed, many of us felt that there should have been much vigorous action against that sort of ban. And probably if we did so, we would have slowed